RadioMD. RadioMD.com.
Dr. Michael Fenster is a cardiologist, a gourmet chef, author, TV personality, and host of Code Delicious. Here's Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Today we are feeding your soul for health and wellness. We're speaking with Mr. Andrew Steed from across the pond in the UK. He's an inspirational speaker, storyteller, guide to sacred travel, and shamanic practitioner. His latest book, Powering Up Your Life Story, is available from Grosvenor Books. You got to go out there and get the, about 10, 20 copies and pass them around to your friends. Great gifts, great personal training as well in that book. I'll really work you through some great regimens for I think healing the soul and coming to know yourself a little bit better. And Andrew, you were kind of telling us a little bit about how someone can get started if they're interested in this. So what would be the first thing you'd recommend for them to do? Probably get to your website, right?
Absolutely. I would say go to my website, www.andrewsteed.com, and contact me. You know, I might not be the person who is the right person to help you directly, but I could certainly point you to somebody who can. If you needed somebody local and I know who that person is, then I would certainly share their name and put you in touch with them. And it may well be that I could help you. I mean, the other thing to say is if you don't really have a grasp of shamanism, and there's some wonderful books. My book, The First Santa, which is also available for Grosvenor House, and you can get it from Amazon or directly from my webpage, that has a wonderful connection to the roots of shamanic practice, and it really will give you a great grounding. And then, of course, if you're actually looking for somebody to go deeper with, then it's great to work one-on-one or with groups. And yes, definitely contact me, and I'll help point you in the right direction.
Well, that's wonderful, and I think, you know, what I hear you say is, you know, exactly what I used to tell folks, you know, in terms of the martial arts. You have some CDs, which are awesome, great listening and great stories as well as music. You've got some books which you can read, but this isn't something you can sit on the internet, you know, watch a couple of videos and become a master, though I'm sure, like with martial arts or and sometimes with medicine, there are people that do that, certainly with food as well. But it's something I think that has to be transmitted personally. Would I be reading too much into that, or is that right?
No, I would say, you know, if you're drawn to this pathway, it's a long road. There's no quick fix way to anything in life. If you are truly drawn, then be prepared to dance the road. And you never know what gifts will come. You know, I have been leading pilgrimages now since 1999, taking people to England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales, and showing them to stone circles and burial chambers and caves and waterfalls and holy wells, and we go for dawn rituals and amazing times. And I never expected that I would ever go into a studio to record a CD of songs. I've taught for years that we are all singers. If people are sitting in a room with me, I ask people, put up your hands if you're a singer. And normally there'll be four or five hands that go up. And then I say, everyone put your hand up. Now I've found my singers. Because we are all singers. We all have a song to sing, just like a tree has a song to sing. However, in life, what happens with human beings is we are taught to shut up because someone says, you don't have a great singing voice. Well, I would never look to go on American Idol or Pop Idol. However, Spirit came to me with 14 Spirit songs from the land. And I literally downloaded some amazing songs. And I came out with this wonderful CD last year called Sacred Outcast. And they're Spirit songs from the Celtic lands. And I love that. You know, I love this. When we put our heart into something and we dance fully in that pathway, how spirit moves through us and brings us gifts that have always been inside of us, but we just didn't know were there.
Well, I think that that's so true. You know, for the youth, and you know, I can speak personally, you know, we're often told what we can't do. You can't do this, and you can't do that, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, as we say, a flower doesn't worry about it. A flower just blooms, and it doesn't worry about what the other flowers are doing.
Nope. Nope.
You know, and go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
And nature in expressing itself in its own glory. You know, I always say the voice of the raven. I was in India a couple of years ago, and I had gone there, and it was the time of the crow festival, and the Hindu festival of the crow actually has a connection to the wild hunt that I lead in the British Isles and across the world at every October, November time. And I was sitting at this retreat center, having just witnessed the festival of the crows, and about 100 crows flew in onto the trees, and they're all sitting in the trees going, "Gah! Gah!" And suddenly the man from the retreat center came running out, and he went, "Awful noise, awful noise." And I looked at him and I said, "Beautiful song." And he looked at me, and I have a raven tattooed on my chest, and I'm bare chested. And he looks at me and he goes, you're calling crow, crow, crow. And I laughed and I went, "Oh, well, they certainly came." And he said, "I've never met anyone like you." And I said, "Well, you will be meeting more people like me." I said, "Because I've just been told by the crows that I'm to come here and do some healing work with the land and bring some people." And so I am. I'm heading there next July at the same time the Crow Festival is on, to connect into that energy. And we'll be doing some major dragon line work, connecting the grid of the earth. We'll be working some great water cleansings, and we'll be working with crow stories from around the world to connect the medicines of the world.
And so that sort of is a nice segue into my next question, which is that you include in your work, I guess, other types of healing, you know, other methods as well. So you talk about tying these things from around the world. How do you do that?
Well, you know what? You have to listen. You have to listen to what nature is asking of you. The one thing that I believe in is medicine of place. Where do you go and work something? Because indigenous is indigenous. It's something will take root and grow stronger because it has its roots somewhere. Where I go is where I'm called to go, because spirit has said, "Hey, this is important right here, right now." India is important to me because it has a calling. It's where I grew up in 1987, when I went wandering the planet, and I spent 3 months there, and I really grew from a boy to a man. And when I was there the first time, I was taken onto the backwaters of Kerala, and it was one of the most magical experiences that I'd had in my life to that point. And when I returned there 2 years ago, I was so excited to go again, and I didn't go. And I didn't go because so many tourists had come to the south of India, whereas 25 years ago, I was one of the very few there. It was swamped with tourists. Now, that wasn't the problem. The problem was that there were so many boats that were going onto the back waters, and they were motorized boats, and the all of the spillage from the engines has killed off so much of life in those waters. And I wasn't going to be part of the problem. So I need to be part of the solution. And I couldn't get a green boat to take me out on my own. So I'm taking a group of people, and we're going to get a green boat, a non-motorized boat, and we're going on to those waters to sing to those waters. And, you know, if the world stopped and connected with their hearts and sang to the waters, we'd make a big shift. That's my cosmology. Some people might be scratching their heads going, I'm not sure how that works. Well, that's why you connect with someone like myself, as if you're called, and come and experience. Because when you experience this and you feel it, see it, hear it in your own heart, you're going to be called to do more of it. And I do believe that is what's going to change this planet.
Well, I think all those points that you're talking about for our listeners and for anyone, that's really where you start healing yourself. You know, again, I talk about so often, you know, I go around the world and I lecture and we talk about and I emphasize about the food experience, because you can't separate the diner from dinner. The diner is in dinner. So you have the emotion, you have the relationship, you have that experience with the food. And we know, for example, that when people are sad, they sort of crave certain things. Now we're learning that if we eat these things, a lot of these artificial, highly processed foods, we're having a terrible impact on our gut microbiome. Why? Because this tie, this connection to the earth, this interface between nature and us in terms of our diet, our experience every day, it has co-evolved over millions of years to co-metabolize with us. And now we're feeding it, you know, poisons. And in turn, we then sort of poison ourselves. And what they're also finding, which I think is fascinating and really, I think, relates a lot to the work you do, is that what we eat can affect our mood. So, for example, I was talking with a professor of neuroscience who told me that this gut microbiome, these bacteria, secrete over 50 different neurotransmitters. And, you know, if you think Prozac has an effect, imagine this gut microbiome with, you know, 50 different neurotransmitters, you know, influence our brain, our behavior, our mood. So I've got to ask, because I travel so much and I know it can be rough, you know, how do you handle that in terms of your diet? And when you do the shamanic path, do people have to subscribe to, you know, certain foods? Are there limitations?
Okay, well, let's take travel first. I mean, the first thing that I do is I make sure I drink plenty of water. You know, that is huge. I learned that one by not drinking enough water. if I go on the road and I flush my system to prepare my system. Now, the next thing is, you know, we're crossing time zones all of the time. You know, it's important to get out of the box and go and put my heart on the land, to go and lay on the earth, smell the earth, connect with the earth. If I drink enough water and I connect with the earth, and then I bless my food when it goes into my body, and yes, of course, I look to always buy the best ingredients, look to get organic. I'm a vegetarian. Do I say that everybody has to be vegetarians? No, you've got to find what's right for you. But I do know that anybody who starts and is serious about walking a spiritual pathway, your diet will change, because you're going to want to feed your body with foods that help you hold that energy vibration. You know, it's a bit like you know, somebody needs more energy. What do? They go to one of these energy drinks and they crack it open and they take a swig and they have an energy boost and then they crash.
Yeah.
I'm not going that route. I'm going to tap into spirit. I'm going to ask spirit to come through me, and I'm going to give thanks for my life, and I'm going to bless the food that I eat, and I'm going to put the best food that's available to me into my body. Because I know then that my body will have the energy to do what I do. And you know, I teach people, we can overcome whatever is coming towards us. So if sickness is coming into our body, I can flush that out. Sometimes it comes in a way as a teacher for me. But most of the time, let's look at the common cold. If I have a common cold coming in, and I flush my body with endorphins and I get excited for life, I flush that cold way out of there. You know, I don't have to be into the cold, because if I buy into I feel sick and I wander around feeling sick, and I put food into my body that is not of great quality, and it just makes me feel blah. And we all know that. We all have a food. We have something sometimes which is after. It's like, oh, that wasn't so good, was it? So that's something I'm going to avoid. I'm going to look for something that is going to help sustain me and keep me active and feeling free.
Well, I think you hit, and one of the words I keyed off on that I think is so important, and one of the reasons why I say you have to put the effort into the modern times that we live in, you have to put the effort into finding the quality food. And it's quality over quantity. Now, a couple hundred years ago, everything was of a similar quality in terms of organic and naturally raised.
Yep.
Now we have a great variety to choose from. Quantity for many people on this earth, unfortunately, is an issue, but for many of us, it's not. And if you have that luxury, then you have to understand that the quality plays a key role in determining the value that you have with that. And I think that increases the value of the food experience in terms of taste and pleasure. That's what great chefs, when people are paying hundreds of dollars for a meal, because these chefs really sort out the quality ingredients and make a quality experience. And it sounds like, you know, for our lives, shamanism is about searching out and maybe increasing the quality of our lives, or appreciating, you know, the quality of our lives and these quality experiences. Is that fair? Or did I miss the boat back in India?
No, I think you're on the boat. You know, quite simply, a healing pathway, because that what is what shamanism is for me. It's a healing pathway, and so for somebody to step on that healing pathway, but you have to remember, you're in charge of your health. I always say to people, you play the active role. You can come for an individual treatment. You can go to somebody like myself, and we do a one-on-one treatment. You know, it's not a quick fix. It's not come along and, oh, hey, off you go, you're done. You've then got to do the work. You have to do the maintenance work. You know, a bit like if somebody came and a doctor stitched them up because they had a bad cut across their stomach, they wouldn't go running the next day. They would need to look after so that those stitches didn't split open. It's the same in the shamanic world. You don't want to puke up the medicine. You want to make sure you integrate it. And that is your role. You will have homework. I give so many people homework, and you know who's done it, and you know who hasn't. And I can be sitting in a circle, and some people will want to pretend that they've done it, because we all like to be seen to have done the work. But it's very evident who has done the work and who is skimming the surface. You know, you can't fake spirit. It's an authentic practice.
And I would, I guess, wrap this up by saying, you know, if the shamanic path is the way to becoming a real authentic individual, hey, folks, why not feed yourself and start your own journey with some real authentic food? So, Andrew, I want to thank you for being on today. Folks, you can check out Andrew at www.andrewsteed.com, and you want to pick up his books and CDs there. Once again, until we meet, may the only pain in your life be champagne.